Support for KQED Podcasts comes from Star One Credit Union, now offering real-time money movement with Instant Pay. Make transfers and payments instantly between financial institutions. Online or through Star One's mobile app. Star One Credit Union, in your best interest.
From KQED.
You know, there's no ban coming. Like, we're in good shape. Biden just opened a TikTok account for his reelection campaign, and they sent a representative to the headquarters in Singapore. Like, everything's good in the U.S. 2 days later, like, this bill comes out.
This is Political Breakdown from KQED in San Francisco. I'm Scott Schaefer. Today on The Breakdown, after the House overwhelmingly passed bipartisan legislation to force China to sell the popular short video app TikTok or face a ban in the U.S., the Senate seems to be putting the bill on a slower track. TikTok CEO Shou Chu used the platform to warn about how banning the platform would harm people in the U.S.
This bill gives more power to a handful of other social media companies. It will also take billions of dollars out of the pockets of creators and small businesses. It will put more than 300,000 American jobs at risk, and it will take away your TikTok.
This isn't the first time Washington has tried to ban TikTok. Former President Donald Trump tried to ban the app when he was in office, but he recently did a 180 and now says he opposes the bill. And even though President Joe Biden's re-election campaign uses TikTok to reach voters, the president says he'll sign the bill if it gets to his desk. Here to discuss the effort in Congress, the potential legal battle between national security interests and First Amendment rights for users of TikTok, is Wall Street Journal reporter Stu Wu. Good to have you with us.
Hey, thanks for having me, Scott.
Well, let me begin by asking you, what exactly is prompting Congress to essentially ban TikTok in the U.S. unless China agrees to sell the company? What are the issues?
Well, at the heart of the issue is that TikTok is owned by a Chinese-based company called ByteDance. And the main issue is that the U.S. lawmakers are worried that the Chinese government can force TikTok's parent company to either spy on Americans or influence what videos they see. So they might influence an election, for example. Those are the doomsday scenarios that U.S. lawmakers are talking about.
And based on what we know, is that a justified concern?
So I think we're at a point right now where U.S. lawmakers are talking about a potential concern, because you talk to some lawmakers who have listened to these briefings in Congress from the FBI and other national security folks, and they're saying, we don't see any concrete evidence. It's really the potential that China might do this. So it's sort of like trying to prove a negative. So TikTok can say, we haven't done anything wrong, but the lawmakers say, yes, but you know what? At the end of the day, the Chinese government is your boss.
And in terms of like privacy concerns and concerns that, you know, that the app could be used by ByteDance or TikTok to get information about Americans. I mean, do they need TikTok to get that?
So that's one of TikTok's primary arguments, that if the Chinese government really wants to know what Americans do, you know, their patterns, they can just go to a third-party data broker and just buy that. That's already available. That's one of their defenses. But I think you also, at the same time, you have to look at what the Chinese government has done with technology in China. They have harnessed technology to surveil its own citizens, including minority populations there. So I think both things can be true. Number one, TikTok there's not that much evidence that TikTok has used its power, its position on 170 million phones in America to do anything. On the other hand, they haven't really answered the question, you know, what would happen if the Chinese government asked us to do so?
Hmm. Well, in fact, when this bill was making its way through the House, didn't they send a message to TikTok users urging them to reach out to their members of Congress?
That's right. So for users who lived in important, House districts, so the Democratic and Republican leaders, for example, when you opened TikTok, you saw this message that said, Congress is trying to ban TikTok. But if you put in your zip code right now and hit a couple buttons, you can call your lawmakers' offices. And, their reasoning was that Uber and Lyft and other companies have done this on their phones. But the problem here is that these congressional phone lines were overwhelmed because so many people use TikTok. Basically, half of Americans use TikTok. And a lot of people, when they opened the app, they didn't realize they could X out of that notification. And they thought, oh, I have to make this phone call if I want to go to my silly dance videos and everything like that.
Well, let's talk a little bit about the politics of this. The House voted overwhelmingly. It was a bipartisan vote. And here in California, you had like Nancy Pelosi voting yes to ban TikTok or to force them to sell. But among those representing Silicon Valley, it was opposed by Ro Khanna, Zoe Lofgren, Kevin Mullen. It was also supported by Anna Eshoo, who's retiring. So what do you make of the domestic politics of all this and how it seems to be breaking down, if there's any pattern at all?
So what was really surprising is that if you look at who voted for this bill and who against, it was really bipartisan. Even the Democrats, it was like 75% of Democrats in the House voted in favor of this bill. I think it comes down to two things. Number one, it's just really popular to look tough on China right now. So that's why you had all that Democratic support. And I think if you look at the people who voted against it, it's largely people who were concerned about free speech rights. So you had libertarian-leaning Republicans and also just Democrats who thought, well, this is, you know, TikTok's really popular among certain populations, along certain minority populations, and we don't want to silence those voices.
I know you don't cover politics per se, but what do you make of former President Trump, who had tried to ban, you know, the app himself when he was president, now saying he opposes this legislation?
Yeah, that was a surprise. So, you know, I've talked to some Republicans in Washington about this, and there are a couple theories here. Number one is that TikTok is really popular among young people. So this might be a political play just to appeal to younger people who use TikTok. And number two, I think sort of the elephant in the room is that one of TikTok's biggest investors is a major Republican donor named Jeff Yaz. And there has been some reporting that Trump and Yaz has met recently. And that might be a reason that Trump has changed his stance in the past few months.
There are, of course, a lot of tech companies here in California and Silicon Valley, not far from where we're sitting right now. What is your sense of how companies like Meta, you know, which owns Facebook, how would companies here in California be affected if this were to go through and actually, you know, TikTok were forced to sell or it was banned?
I think you can, if you want to know how they feel, I think you can just look at how Wall Street reacted right after the House passed this bill that might ban TikTok. The stocks and Meta went up. And I think a couple of things could happen. Once, if TikTok is banned, a lot of people who are making TikTok videos will just spend more time on Meta's apps like Facebook and Instagram. So I think it doesn't seem like it's going to be a bad thing for them.
And in terms of reaction from China, obviously they're unhappy, and they can let that be known in many ways. What is your take on the reaction so far?
They've been really consistent. So ever since President Trump tried to ban TikTok 4 years ago, they've been consistent in saying, we don't want this to happen. And this is important because the Chinese government has an export control, can control whether TikTok is sold to anybody. They say that TikTok's algorithm is of national security importance to China. So we can veto whether TikTok and its secret sauce, its algorithm that shows videos, can be sold to any American company. And they're saying, we're not going to allow that to happen. So what this bill does is that it would give TikTok 6 months to be sold to an American buyer. And if that doesn't happen, it would be banned. And the Chinese government is indicating so far, well, we're going to let it be banned.
Hmm. So they're saying that if the U.S. were to get TikTok or an interest in the U.S. were to get TikTok and that algorithm, it would be a national security risk to China?
They're saying that it's the algorithm of TikTok is we have an extra control over it because we think it's a national security concern. It's an economic concern because if another company could, you know, figure it out how to serve videos to its users like TikTok does, that would give them an economic benefit, a competitive advantage. China does not want this amazing software, this amazing algorithm that was developed in China to go to a competitor in another country.
Yeah. And then just quickly, in terms of how this could affect companies in California, is Oracle, which I think was offering to, you know, put some of this on their servers in the U.S., how would they be affected?
Yeah. So around the last time Congress tried to ban TikTok, a lot of Oracle lobbyists were going around saying, you know, you should think twice about this. And that's because Oracle stands to make a lot of money by just storing TikTok's data because 170 million people in America use TikTok. There's a lot of money that Oracle could make just by being the, you know, the middleman that stores the data of all these TikTok users.
Yeah, so there's a lot of economic interest here in California, and you've got people like Steve Mnuchin, the former Treasury Secretary, also saying, hey, I can put together a group of buyers. So obviously this would be a very valuable property. All right, we are going to take a short break, and when we return, we'll continue talking about TikTok with Stu Wu of The Wall Street Journal. You're listening to Political Breakdown. I'm Scott Schaefer. We'll be right back. We'll be right back.
Support for this podcast comes from San Francisco International Airport. Some want it all. SFO wants zero. Zero landfill waste, net carbon, and net energy by 2030. Learn more about the triple zero goal at flysfo.com.
And welcome back to Political Breakdown. I'm Scott Schaefer, talking about efforts in Congress to ban TikTok with Wall Street Journal reporter Stu Wu. He's usually based in London, but he's here in San Francisco this week. Welcome home, I guess, huh?
Yeah, thank you. You know, I'm visiting family. You caught me in a good week, and it's cool to be, you know, I grew up listening to KQED, so it's cool to come in the studio and play a little role in this.
I'm curious, how does the city seem to you? Because, you know, there's so much written about the demise of the city, and it's, you know, being broadcast and accelerated and accentuated by Fox News. You know, what's your impression?
Can I say something? I just walked down Market Street to get here, and I was a little depressed. I think so. My family is out from by the sunset. Things are really lively, bustling, even more so when I was a kid. Downtown's really depressing me right now, though. So I hope something can be done to revitalize Market Street in that area.
Yeah. All right. Well, back to TikTok. And by the way, I noticed, I don't think you're on TikTok, are you?
I am on TikTok. And I actually, just while I was walking here, I was checking my phone to see how much time I spent on it. I actually haven't been on it this week yet. I'm not on it that often, not because of, you know, I lived in China for a while, so I assume some government somewhere is always watching what's on my phone, but I just don't think it's good for your health. I mean, like, you open TikTok and suddenly it's 1 a.m. and, you know, I should have been in bed.
Wow. Well, you know, for those who don't use TikTok, the you know, I guess it's almost a minority of Americans. I do use it, but very sparingly, and I don't create any content. I'm just kind of looking and see what's out there. But what is the allure? I mean, some of it, I think, is like a physiological addiction, isn't it? And that's true of like our phones generally.
Yeah, I think so. So for me, when I first downloaded TikTok like a year and a half ago, because that was my job to write about TikTok, I wanted to know about this app I was using. I was like, I don't see what's so special about it. But after about a few days, maybe a week, it starts getting you because it analyzes how much time you spend looking at certain videos and then whether you swipe away quickly or you watch the whole video. And after a week, I started getting these really targeted videos. So like what Americans what Americans think of Britain or, you know, or what Britons think of Americans, right? And I started getting like Family Guy clips that I loved and like softball instructional videos because I play a lot of softball. And I'm like, whoa. TikTok gets me. I think that's your secret sauce.
Wow. And it's kind of spooky at the same time.
It's totally. It's like, oh, it knows what video I want. It knows what videos I want to see before I actually see them.
Yeah. Well, back to the app. Does anything like this exist in China?
Oh, yeah, totally. There's an app in China just like TikTok. It's called Douyin, and it's just like TikTok. And the only difference is that Americans or people outside China can access it. And likewise, people in China can't access TikTok.
Wow. And so how is it different? I mean, obviously, there's a lot of censorship and monitoring, as you said, in China of, you know, everyone. How is it? What are they restricted from seeing or doing?
So basically, like any app in China, so if you're in China, you can't download TikTok because there's a lot of political speech on it that maybe the Chinese government doesn't want you to see. If you're in China, you can't access things that the Chinese government wouldn't like. So that would be criticism of its government or its treatment of Muslim minorities, for example. It's just like a totally walled off system that, again, people in China can't get out of and people outside China can't get into.
Do they use it there to influence, obviously, the way people think or like to like limit the things that obviously the things they have access to are limited. But what about these, you know, the concern we have here that it's going to be used to influence Americans?
We don't really know. But if you're a Chinese company in China, you have to have a Communist Party committee within your company, and they'll play a role in it. So what basically happens, so it's not just Douyin, which is the Chinese version of TikTok. It's WeChat and some of the other apps that you might have heard of. They basically know, they have strong relations with the government, so they know what the red line is. So there's almost a form of self-censorship in which these companies monitor you know, what's going on their platforms. And if they think that's there's something that might upset the government, they might censor it.
I want to ask you about the CEO of TikTok, Shou-Chu. We heard a little clip of him at the top there. He is a citizen of Singapore, went to Harvard Business School, is married to a American woman of Taiwanese descent. I believe they have a couple of kids that were born here, I think, in the U.S. What do you make of him?
I met him last year and, you know, we hit it off. We have a lot in common. We both lived in London for a while. That's where you went to undergrad. We both I've lived in the U.S. for a while. We both lived in China for a while. I think it's really impressive for a couple of reasons. As you mentioned, he went to Harvard Business School. He's a pretty good businessman. But I like to think that he's one of the few people who could have been CEO of TikTok because he really is bilingual. Literally, he speaks English and Mandarin, but also bicultural. Grew up in Singapore, which is English-speaking, but where three-quarters of the population is Chinese. Learned Chinese growing up. So he can communicate with his bosses in China or his Chinese bosses fluently, and yet he has an understanding of the U.S. market. So there's very few people with that profile. So he was really the guy who could please his boss and yet try to appeal to U.S. lawmakers at the same time.
Yeah, although I was looking at some of his testimony, and he was really being pressed by Senator Tom Cotton from Arkansas about, you know, have you ever been a member? It sounded like the hearings from the 1950s with Senator McCarthy. Have you ever been a member of the Chinese Party, Communist Party, and those sorts of things? Like, what do you make of his relationship with China and the Chinese government and the, you know, the Communist Party?
Yeah, so two things about that. Number one, I think watching that interaction made me realize that a lot of people don't realize that Singapore and China are two different countries. I think the confusion is that the CEO is ethnically Chinese, but he lives in Singapore, which is a different country. I think the second thing is that, so the TikTok CEO went to Congress last year, testified in front of a committee, and he was asked similar questions. And when it came to his relationship with China, or TikTok's relationship with China, he was, evasive might be too strong of a word.
Maybe slick a little?
Yeah, exactly. He clearly did not want to talk about their relationship. And I think that was one of the issues. If TikTok had just owned it and said, hey, look, our parent company is Chinese, but we're doing all these things to wall off our American operations and Chinese operations, I think they would have, I think TikTok would have had an easier time in Congress. But instead, he tried to avoid those questions and direct it back to, no, we're based in Singapore, which is not totally true.
Yeah. Do you have a sense of whether this is, you know, there's been a lot of talk over the years of trying to regulate Silicon Valley, including Instagram and Snapchat and, you know, and putting limits on how old, you know, preventing minors from using these things. Do you have any sense of, and again, I realize you're in London, you're covering tech, but do you have a sense that the politics of this are changing in the U.S.?
The politics of regulating big tech and general social media. So I know that Representative Khanna went out and said, you know, this banning TikTok is not the right solution. We need to go out and just have a more of a blanket reform of how we handle social media. I don't know. I mean, those bills haven't really gone anywhere. Haven't really gone far, right? But then you introduce this banned TikTok bill that, you know, 80-something percent of House representatives vote for. I think that's the only thing that has momentum right now. I think being anti-China or anti-Chinese companies, at least, is the only thing that Washington can agree on right now.
You know, it's interesting for a company as savvy and a CEO as savvy as TikTok has, they apparently, and I think you wrote about this in the Wall Street Journal, they were sort of caught off guard by this legislation. The lobbyists had gone to, many of whom were former members of Congress, had gone to Singapore and assured them that, hey, it's going to be okay. What did they miss?
Yeah, totally. So even I myself miss this. I had a meeting with some, you know, big editors at my newspaper, and they asked me what's going to happen with TikTok. And I said, well, President Biden just joined. I don't think they're going to get banned anytime soon. But I was bailed out because TikTok executives themselves were caught off guard. So they flew to TikTok's U.S. executives flew to meet their bosses about 3 weeks ago, and they sat down and gave a briefing that said, hey, we think things are good right now. There's this threat that we might get banned, but right now everything is good. Look, Joe Biden just joined TikTok on Super Bowl Sunday. What they missed was that behind the scenes in Washington, some Congress members on the China committee there and the Biden administration were quietly putting together this plan that they kind of sprung on House members at the last minute. And they did it quietly because they knew that if word got out that they were working on this, TikTok lobbyists would try to come in, throw a wrench in the whole thing. You got to give credit to the Congress and the Biden administration for at least the tactics.
And keeping it quiet. I mean, it's hard to keep a secret in Washington.
They couldn't believe it themselves that word didn't get out.
Yeah. You mentioned executives from TikTok in the U.S. Say a little bit more about that. Where are they based and who are they? Are they American?
Yeah. So TikTok likes to say that they're dual headquartered or have global headquarters both in Singapore and Los Angeles. So they do have a big office in Culver City where TikTok's COO is based. And they have this big government relations arm in Washington. So they hired people from both former Democrats and Republicans who formerly worked on the Hill or in administrations, and they have a lot of connections over there. So it was kind of a surprise that none of them had their ear close enough to the ground to catch wind of this new bill.
If there was a bit of a trend of who voted for, who voted against it, there did seem to be more Southern California members of Congress from California who were voting against it. Is that, do you think, perhaps because there are more of these influencers and entrepreneurs who are using TikTok to make money? And some, you know, it's not a small amount of money sometimes.
Yeah, I think just maybe it's even more simple than that. I talked to the congresswoman who represents Culver City, and she said, look, I drive by the TikTok office like every day. There are a lot of jobs there, a lot of good paying jobs outside in the LA area. So I don't think it's even as complicated as that.
Yeah. What can China do if they want to retaliate or try to block the sale or, you know, derail the legislation? I mean, what are the tools they have?
Their tool is that they are the world's second biggest economy outside after the United States. So and there's a lot of speculation on how they could retaliate, but they could just name any American company that has major business in China. It could be Apple, could be Tesla. They could suddenly, put down a new rule that says, oh, you know, you can only sell certain kinds of things in China. That's a tool they have. There's a lot of companies that get 10-20% of their sales from China. That's a weapon they have.
And I would think that those companies have lobbyists, certainly, who are really giving the Senate something to think about.
Yeah, exactly. If you talk to the trade associations in Washington, that is their argument. Like, if you could do this, but an American company might get hurt because of it.
If it were to pass, I would think that there'd be a lot of interest in buying it, right?
Well, there would be and there wouldn't be. There would be because it's on the phone of 170 million Americans. So, yeah, of course, there's obvious appeal in that. But the second thing is that there's two problems. There's very few companies or coalitions that would have enough money to buy TikTok. It could cost more than $100 billion. So that's the first problem. And the second is that in this regulatory environment, it might not pass the muster of antitrust regulators, because that's a lot of people. Like, Meta's not going to buy it, and no government's going to, no regulator is going to approve that.
Yeah, we're in a presidential election year. President Biden is already in hot water with a lot of younger voters over the war in Gaza with Israel. Many of them are, very sympathetic to the plight of Palestinians who have been, killed and caught up in that conflict. Some are also upset about climate change policy not going far enough. So what would banning TikTok do? Because I assume that the users skew young.
Right. What would it do to his reelection
hopes? Well, what you have any thoughts about how they would respond?
I've been getting emails from college students and people from influencers saying that this is not the right thing, especially with people worried about inflation and all that. We might lose our jobs or a lot of our income. At the same time, I do think there is some truth to to what the lawmakers say. Well, that business would simply move to Snap or Instagram. I don't know. It's really hard to tell. We're in like uncharted territory right now.
Yeah, I think it's easier said than done. Just to say, okay, they're going to move to something else. There is something special about TikTok that has attracted 170 million users, right?
Yeah, that special sauce that shows you what you want to see before you even know it. You didn't even know you wanted to see that video.
Yeah. Do you think that it seems like there's in some ways a reappraisal of social media happening, certainly among parents, maybe among even some younger people? And I'm wondering if you any thoughts about the next generation who are maybe now they're 13, 14, 15, 16. I mean, are they going to see this kind of technology differently, do you think?
I think so, totally. I mean, my colleagues just read a story about how people, Gen Zers, people in their 20s are just quitting TikTok because of the fatigue. They're tired of, they think it's bad for their mental health. I don't know what's going to happen. And so we've noticed that users joining TikTok have peaked. They seem to have plateaued. So I don't know whether that's just a fact that there's only so many people in this country.
Saturation.
Yeah, exactly. Or whether there's actual fatigue, people realizing that this might not be the best for your mental health.
Yeah. We haven't even talked about the legal issues here. It seems to be basically the argument the government is making about national security concerns, but then others are saying, no, there's First Amendment rights, so that you'd be taking away free speech from people who are using it and so on and so forth. Any thoughts about that and how that might unravel or, you know, might just play out in the coming months and years if it, you know, if this thing actually happens?
Yeah, totally. So I just to take a step back, if there's going to be a sale or a ban of TikTok, it's going to take weeks or months to play out. There's a hurdle in the Senate. It's unclear whether the Senate's going to pass this because of internal politics and their turf wars, whatever. If it does pass the Senate, TikTok has indicated it's going to sue to stop this bill on First Amendment grounds. And the basic argument is that half the country uses TikTok. You can't take away this platform that people use to freely express themselves. There's a lawsuit in Montana right now. Montana tried to ban TikTok, and the judge there indicated that TikTok was likely right, that this does violate free speech rights. One thing to remember is that the First Amendment's not absolute. So national security concerns can take precedent over free speech rights. So we'll see. The people who wrote this bill, by the way, in Congress, wrote it in a language with very careful language. And they had in the back of their mind the entire time, okay, will this survive a challenge on First Amendment grounds in the courts? So it might get tested in the coming months.
And then just real quick, before I let you go, what are you going to be looking for in the next few weeks?
Look to see what the Senate leader, Chuck Schumer, does. Will he take this up quickly, or does he have other priorities? If he doesn't take it up quickly, this could take months to play out. So, you know, we could be in for a long ride here.
All right. That is Stu Wu. He covers TikTok and all things tech, or not, maybe not all things, but a lot of things for the Wall Street Journal based in London. Thanks so much for coming in.
This was fun. Thanks, Scott.
And that's a wrap for Tuesday, March 19th. Political Breakdown is a production of KQED. Our engineer is Seal Muller. Our producer is Izzy Bloom. I'm Scott Schaefer. Thank you so much for listening.